This is Near Enough to Hell, a Ghosts of El Paso story, part three. We are kind of in the middle of the dusk phase from last time, and we're going to pick up with that in a moment. But first, let's recap the current state of our Hunters of the Vigilance Committee. Mother Ruth Calvo is most beloved and marked by Brandy Carson. At the moment, Graves just has Death Touch, Andrew Harrington, no conditions. And Arkansas McGee is hungover, surprising no one. Let's see. So previously we had introduced a new threat, the Daisy Man, a series of burglaries throughout the various Nouveau Riche and some other establishments of saloons and gambling halls in El Paso. A phantom burglar reported to be able to pass through walls. Is he a man? Is he a ghost? That's what we're trying to figure out. We had also continued to investigate the lady in white, and in fact answered the question for the lady in white as to how to get her to pass on. You determined the ritual, the steps of which we'll kind of recap as we're getting to that. And you had rolled high enough to not just be correct, but also that the mastermind is going to show up during the resolution of the threat. That'll be fun. We also met the masterminds, plural, last time, Isabella and Edward, who had kind of crashed Harrington's assemblage to discuss their plans to finally bring the railways to El Paso before heading off into the night. We also got a stinger scene where they were riding in the cabin of a ghostly black train that was riding along the waters of the Rio Grande. So that is where we left off with our various hunters getting ready for the night phase. I don't believe we have any playbook moves that trigger during the dusk phase, but I have a paint the scene question for the Wounded Knight for all of you. Going to the Wounded Knight page, we're going to do crime in El Paso that is now highlighted. During the Wounded Knight, law and order operates differently, with time only for the squeakiest wheels. What petty offense is overpunished because someone made a stink about it? What major crime is overlooked because the only victim is dead?
Petty crime is not hitching your horse while in town. You don't hit your horse, overblown people get angry about it, just get senselessly angry about it. But a major crime that people undergo, like just like try to like, ah, it ain't that bad. Ah, you're blown out of proportion, is murder, plain old murder. There's always a reason for murdering somebody.
Some folks just need killing.
Some folks just need killing.
I got a petty crime that is prosecuted most harshly, and that's just shooting your gun in the morning.
That wasn't the answer from Daniel Qualls. That was the formal complaint by Arkansas.
You just why can't you shoot your gun without some law enforcement official trying to throw you in jail?
There is a pretty hefty fine for not paying your tab at certain more established establishments, and it's like ridiculous, just ludicrous. But burglary, generally, if the person is dead, nobody gets punished for it.
There, I'm not going to introduce any new crimes, but more or less comment on the previous ones. It's less that murder is overlooked, but more that it's handled in a different way. Because even if you die during the Wounded Knight, your ghost will come back and still be handled quite well. And still be quote unquote living in El Paso. So there's no need to go looking into that if you're still around. Whereas shooting your gun, leading your horse unhitched, not paying your tab, it makes irritants amongst the po locals. They get agitated, and something about the wounded knight just makes everyone a little bit bloodthirsty. You don't want a massacre in town, so petty crimes must be punished.
Damn, very good. Going in character keeper order, in a sentence or two, please let me know what your hunter will be doing during the upcoming night phase. After everyone is gone, you'll be allowed a revision. Mother Ruth Calvo.
Mother Ruth is participating in the ritual to get rid of the lady in white.
Graves.
If we got told about the ritual, Graves is definitely into this.
All right. Andrew Harrington.
I'm probably also overseeing the ritual just for making sure that nothing weird happens because you don't want it to like upset anyone.
And Arkansas McGee.
Two things. One is I'm gonna narrate the scene where I activate the
Oh,
moss covered
yes.
gate.
I was about to say that. Well, that will segue. That's outstanding. Janice Mass prompts are covered next, so you can absolutely do yours.
And then I'm gonna try to track down who the security guard was that shot through the alleged Daisy Man and see if I can find them and start working on the Daisy Man.
Very good. But yes, outstanding Janice Mask prompts. We have one from Arkansas. Do we have any others from anyone else?
Yes, from Andrew Harrington.
Would you like to do yours, Andrew, now, or you want to hold off?
I'll do mine now.
All right, sounds good.
I think we see a time when, back in London, for a young Andrew who is being sort of has it holding his mother's hand, walking through the markets, and is looking at all the sort of fancy goods on display for a child. These are just like apples and fruits, and he sees just the prettiest, like shiniest red apple, and he has to have it. And he just takes it, hides it in his pocket, and doesn't pay for it. But when they get home, he goes to his room and takes it out, admires it, and bites down into it. It is juicy, it is everything he thought it would be, and he wants more.
Very good. Daniel.
Way up on the ridge, it's dusk, and way up on the ridge of Sawtooth Ridge by Mount Franklin, overlooking El Paso. There's like an old homestead up there that's like deserted, abandoned. But there's this bush, there's this rose bush that whoever was there planted somehow survived, and it's got flowers on it. And there's a pair of ravens that have landed near it. And they suddenly fly like something startles them. They fly around this rose bush, and when they disappear, standing there, we see a woman dressed in black with these red roses embroidered on her jacket. And she looks down and she sees two things. She sees like a pretty tooled leather saddle and tack at her feet, and then she sees like these green vapors coming out of these three holes in her chest, and they slowly, like the green vapors, like ooze back the vapors inside of her, and she picks up the saddle and tack and starts walking towards El Paso.
Good. That'll have things that happen in the dusk and following phases. Very good. No other prompts, I believe. All right, then. Let's introduce the unseen, and then once I've assigned prompts, we'll take a 5 minute break. You can reflect on your prompts and think about your actions for the upcoming night phase. Our unseen is Texas Ranger. I've highlighted it on the unseen tab. John Armstrong is a second lieutenant in the Texas Rangers assigned to the Eagle Pass region and enforcing the law on both sides of the Rio Grande. He is currently running down a murderer. In the dead of night, he lies in ambush for his quarry. The first prompt I'm going to give to. Let me double check something real quick. Because we've done that one. All right, cool. First prompt is going to go to Wes. Second prompt is paint the scene so it's for everyone. Third prompt is going to go to Daniel. Fourth prompt is going to be B. All right, we will take a 5 minute break, and when we come back, we will begin the night phase. It is the night phase. We're going to do the first prompt on the unseen. Whenever you're ready.
In pursuit of John Wesley Harden, Armstrong is positioned by a river. Besides coffee, what does Armstrong use to pass the time and stay awake next to a small campfire? We see John Wesley, we see Ranger Armstrong sitting right next to the fire, sipping on a tin cup of coffee, slightly keeping the fingertips burnt to keep him awake. Looking up at the stars, gazing, whistling a little bit, can feel the tendrils of sleep creeping across his brow. Rustles his head, looks into his pack, and brings out a deck of cards, playing cards. Looks around. Nobody else but him. Begins playing a game of solitaire, setting him out, getting himself caught up. Messes up, start over. Looking for that perfect game. One where there's no question or doubt that this is the exact move that he's supposed to make.
Stumbling down the Santa Fe Street boardwalk, we see Arkansas McGee making for the Rio Grande Gambling Saloon, the largest business of this type on Santa Fe Street, and also the first victim of these phantom burglaries. The front room of the Rio Grande Saloon has a large U-shaped bar made out of a dark lacquered wood, a wide mirror set behind it. There are five tables spread around the bar, where people are either drinking or just playing some simple casual games, but the back hall that is dedicated to cards and dice. Let's paint the scene. This is generally considered a pretty upscale place. How have things changed since the burglary?
There's a lot more vagrants, and by a lot more, I mean a lot more by El Paso standards. There's about two or three that feel that they could spend their time near here.
There's a lot less staff. A lot of staff are just like, I'm out, and have left.
People keep their hands on their guns a little more trigger happy.
Typically, it's a. Any place where like people would be standing near the wall, they start to just nitpick it at it. So we start to like see like etchings into the wall normally, and it will establish it like that. It would either be painted up, or people would be tossed out for doing that. Not anymore.
Arkansas, kindly describe your overall demeanor this evening as you enter the Rio Grande.
Do I know the security guard's name?
Yes, you do. He's somewhat familiar around town. His name is Walt Lewis.
So when he approaches when he approaches the Rio Grande gambling saloon, he sees it has those swinging doors, and he's like, I love these. This is gonna hurt. This is gonna hurt my head, but here we go. And he kind of like with both fists like slams the doors open and makes like this really loud announcement, and they snap and I don't know, maybe damage some of the frame, and he yells out, "Walt Lewis, is you in here?"
Let's cut away outside of town in the darkness of the Carson homestead. Now, as a reminder, this ritual, this quieting ritual you've established, you explained it with some of the clues previously, that I'd like you all to kind of set the scene for one where you're doing this ritual, and just kind of the reminder for everyone present and anyone watching, what this ritual entails, what you're planning to do, I should say.
So it's let me pull it back up so I can get a little bit more detail and everything, our clues and everything like
Because we had
that.
established that, like, the lady in white was some kind of, a bride died in a, horrific crash along the road. She was decapitated. A bunch of, stuff like that. We established the details, but most of the theory was pointed towards, like, practically, here is the steps for the ritual itself.
So using presenting a so we had like a chicken body that had been decapitated. We had to take a chicken and remove the head from that, bring it to replace something that was lost as like an offering to her because she herself was beheaded. With that, taking a red ribbon as well as fresh rose petals that are r blood red, making a circle. And where we're taking this, because I think it's interesting because we have been marked, or I've been marked, by a certain person, bringing it to that field, at the Carson homestead right there, where that area that where there was, dead bodies that have been placed here. It's a very thin place. So once making that circle, presenting the chicken body and the chicken head in the middle, when it's foggy, we will then try to lure her there using a stranger that has a stranger that has a wagon wheel that has been broken, and then proceeding once she appears to do a dance, much like a spider across a web.
Very good. So, setting this up then, it sounds like this is a three-pronged approach. So it seems fitting to me, unless you have a better idea, that each of you is handling a step of this. So who is where and doing what?
I'll go ahead and kick off. Say probably Mother Calvo will be doing the main dancing. I guess I
So
reckon we'll be
you're up by
going
the field then.
up by the field. Just
Gotcha.
maximum amount of dramatic tension looking at my conditions.
Who's the stranger in need of a ride?
What's the third thing?
Okay, I think you were gonna say something.
The third thing was the chicken.
Okay.
The stranger in there, since Andrew Harrington is not from around here, that could be the stranger who is in need of a ride.
And then it sounds like then Graves will be handling the more ritualistic aspects of it, such as beheading a chicken and doing some other quieting steps. I mean, after all, at least in your knowledge, you know a lot about spirits.
Oh yeah, this is.
Also, be with the chicken again.
I
This is
swear to God, it
echoes across
follows me.
campaigns, echoes across campaigns.
Yes.
I was hoping so. I was
I
hoping.
was low key thinking that. I was like, oh yeah, okay, gotcha. Gotta kill the chicken this time. Kill your darlings, kill your chickens.
I won't pull out the chicken plushie to
Yeah,
not upset anyone.
old
Very good.
B-Nar out here choking the chicken.
Yes.
Then before we cut back to the unseen, I'd like each of you to do your establishing shot of what we see your hunter doing in their setup for these roles they have chosen for themselves. Let's start with the marshal, since you're the one who's on the road. How you've set, like, how you're setting yourself up.
I think since it's been established, it's a stranger in the need of a ride. I am walking down the road by myself with like this sort of broken wheel in like my arm, just feeling kind of foolish because like I'm nearly not sure what am I doing with this. This seems to be a little bit silly in terms of like supernatural stuff. Like this can't be right, right? I'll do it. Like because it, because then the my fellow hunters would get irate. It may cause trouble in town, but
Mother
so
Ruth.
I think we see. We do more permanent. I think we see because I have to pull up some lyrics here. We see Mother Ruth is preparing the ribbon and the rose petals, and is also doing a Dutch nursery rhyme called "Indamanisjan," which is essentially, roughly, it's a song about sleeping in the stars and the moon, essentially, and dancing amongst them as well, and just singing to herself in the Mannesheim, in the Mannesheim, Klomik of Intrapidor et Ramikozin, and just like sitting and just like spreading the petals around, and then taking the red ribbon and wrapping it around some reeds that are in this field, making like a nice little buffer.
And Graves.
Graves has found a chicken. It's not hard. We're in El Paso. There's plenty of them. But we see this long shot of them, and they've taken off their gloves for this entire thing, and they just gently touch this bird on its head, and it goes limp. And he says, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust," almost to himself, and without any weaponry, just beheads this bird.
There is a sick crunch of bone, a spatter of dark blood, and we go back to the unseen. This is for everyone. Even though his occupation requires him to travel by horse and on foot in the wild Texas, he is somewhat of a dandy. Describe Armstrong's preferred attire and how it is currently being ruined as he douses the fire and prepares his ambush near the muck of the river.
The fanciest boots you can imagine. Not like traveling boots. These are super fine leather, and they are just getting destroyed in this river muck. He's gonna have a hell of a time cleaning them.
Same with his gloves. He's got to take off his very thin black leather gloves because they're all wet, and he's not going to be able to use his he's not going to be able to use his weapons with these. So he has to take off his gloves.
He's not exactly sure why they sent him of all people, but the badge that weighs heavily in his sort of coat pocket, rather than just being pinned to like a sort of a well-worn like leather outerwear, it's like sort of almost like someone from like up northeast where they would keep like their like pocket watches into the coat and sort of attach it like that. It's just he's not meant to be doing this type of work.
Finally, being a bit of a dandy, and always wanting to dress his best, you can see he's got a red ribbon bow tie and a little red flower that finally, as he's cleaning up, falls into onto the ground and goes, "God damn, outdoors." Picks it up, puts it in the pocket.
Back inside the gambling saloon, we are now at a table and the kind of one of the back edges of the main front room as Walt Lewis sits across from Arkansas McGee. Walt is a long-faced man, literally and emotionally. He has these dark circles under his eyes, a haggard appearance from recent nights. He's got clearly a keen eye to him, but it's mostly put behind a haze of a recent bout of drinking and sleeplessness. As he sits down across from Arkansas, he just goes, "Lord above, Arkansas, you don't have to go shouting like fucking final days up in here. I can hear you just fine. What do you want?"
That's the way they do it in Kansas City. It keeps you. I can't tell, Walt. Am I you or are you me?
What are you going on about, you old fuck?
You look rough. What happened?
What happened? What happened is I shot a burglar at point blank range and he just kept on walking.
That just happens all the time, brother. Here, drink up.
You pass a drink to him and he goes, "Look, nobody holds it against me, but I'm telling you, there ain't a chance that I missed. That fellow was standing behind the bar and I was standing on the other side of it and I shot him.
With what?
My gun."
Oh, I see where you are. Some confusion has formed. That should have took him down, right?
That shot behind the bar is so narrow. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. I shot him and he. The bullet went through him. Fucking. He takes a long draw from his drink and just sets it down.
I always appreciate an easy shot like that, and I'm telling you right now, you were robbed. And it sounds like you were robbed by supernatural.
I don't know anything about that, but I quit. They told me I didn't have to, but how can I protect a place from someone that doesn't get shot, man? I don't. He just kind of like leans his head down into his hands and just like takes a moment in his own stupor, just leans back up. Oh, Arkansas, what should I do? What should I do?
If it makes you feel any better, there's this one time when we were out, we were trying to get all these cows that had been stolen. We tried to get them all back, and one of them, whenever we tried to throw a rope on it, it would go right through it, and we found out it's because there was 10 cows that were stolen, but there was 11 out there in that herd that we caught up with. So what I'm telling you is, every once in a while, a 1 in 11 chance it could be a spirit. And that's my clue for my move, Ghost Stories. A
He
1 in 11 chance that it could be a ghost.
Yeah, you can add that, but he looks at you like, "What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, this was over in Oklahoma, so
I ain't never been to Oklahoma."
well, sometimes Oklahoma comes to you, brother. Drink up.
Glasses get tipped back in his confused state. Cutting over to Mother Ruth. As you're out there in the field, you hear distinctly echoing across the open field itself, back from the barn, the clunk of a breech-loaded shotgun being slammed shut. As stumbling out of the front door of the barn, you see a definitely inebriated Brandi Carson hefting her gun up and saying, "What the fuck did I tell you before?" Stumbles slightly in the dirt, curses and spits, and hefts her gun up and just like gets up to the fence line where you're. Saying, he goes, "I told you to get out of here, and you come back and you trespass on my land, throwing about trash."
Halt! In the name of the Lord High and Mighty, I tell you to halt, you vile and evil woman. I've spent time walking your field around your property, and you know what I see around it? Death, pestilence, nothing be growing in the fields because of the bones and the flesh that rot in the ground. There's sin and devilry happening upon this land, and I tell ye, if you have anything to do with it, then you best leave this land before I cast the demons out of you, you vile, hateful woman. I spit on you. I spit on your name. I spit on your land. Now, if you want to stop the foolishry and all of that consternation that has been caused upon your land, then you will stand with me, you will stand with these two, and you will not stand in the way of vigilance.
And you're using fire and brimstone?
I am using fire and
Yeah.
brimstone.
Very good. All right, roll with well, it sounds like presence in this case. Now because you're marked by Brandy Carson, I am giving you disadvantage.
Absolutely. Let's see, what do I got? Yeah, I don't have any personal items yet that will
That's fine.
fit, so let's do it at disadvantage. Let's see what happens.
See what happens.
Let's see
Fuck
what
around, let's find out.
Okay, well, that was two sixes and a one, so 7 plus 1, 8.
Very good. What happens on an eight?
On a 7 to 9 with fire and brimstone, they stand down but are resentful.
Very good. We'll get back to that. Andrew, along the roadside with your wagon that the wheels busted now.
Yeah, it is. It honestly, I don't feel like this is doing anything. And he just like sort of stops walking along with like this busted wheel, trying to get a ride that it is obviously not coming because it's the middle of the night. Just like, man, I really wonder what Mother Ruth is going on about. Probably complaining to someone about the nature of God or something.
Having trouble? You look over, not too far away from the side of the road, kind of. You didn't see her before, but I mean, it is dark. There are clouds over the blood red moon, but someone's there. A young woman, long black hair, in a loose, billowing white dress, with a somewhat somber expression locked on her face.
A little bit, sort of a. I've got this broken wheel, and I'm really not sure what to do with it. Are
She just
you
nods sadly and looks at you.
having trouble?
I'm hoping for a ride.
Well, maybe we can just walk together for a while. Two is better than one.
Yeah, all right. Cutting over graves, walking towards the Carson homestead. You have the chicken. There's a little like rise in the foothills, and over that rise, it dips down into the Carson homestead, and you're walking up that rise, and then something comes up the rise to meet you. I'm gonna ask everyone to paint the scene. Because what you see, what Graves sees, and Graves alone, is a ghostly horror. Unrecognizable as a human, I should say, and wielding a spectral noose in its hand that it twirls tauntingly. I'd like everyone to describe this horror. Describe to me. The Hanged Man.
With hangings, there, it's a town affair. This spectral being has many hands on its body. It doesn't have feet per se. It crawls along the ground.
Its eyes are glowing red, and like fumes are coming off of them from the heat. It's just it's unadulterated rage.
The mouth is agape, wide open, the eye bag sullen, and instead of like a moan or anything, you can just hear the the sound that anybody who spent time around a gallows would know of a person choking on their own broken neck.
And I think that its neck is broken. We see it's a little long, a little crooked, and deeply bruised in an almost, it almost glows in the night. It's so dark red.
It's going to be the night move on account of the fact that you're encountering this period. It will, regardless of your approach here, be with sensitivity. What are you afraid of happening here, Graves?
Whatever this entity is, I'm worried that it will interrupt our ritual and make it fail.
It's worse than that. It knows who you are.
Oh, okay. All
Go ahead and
right.
roll plus composure.
I thought it was
No,
sensitivity
sorry,
I
sensitivity.
clicked.
Thank you. Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
I was like, not that it
Sensitivity.
really, not that it
Unless you
really.
want to back down, but yeah. Oh, dice are on the table.
That's a seven.
All right, good. Let's go back to the unseen. Daniel, whenever you're ready.
I'm clicking all the tabs. So Armstrong's horse lays perfectly still beside him in the dark, just like he trained it. It's a half-breed California Mustang named Pokey Bo. Explain why this moniker is a misnomer. Well, this horse at one of Lieutenant Armstrong's hand signals is can just bolt up as he like rides it up into a riding position, and this horse is quick to bolt at anything. For example, one time Armstrong was chasing somebody through the streets of Amarillo, and he the person he was chasing ran into a saloon, and Pokey Bo charged right after, slamming open those double doors.
We see Arkansas stumbling out of the gambling saloon later that night after speaking with Walt for a time, stumbling down the street. A moment later, a posse of three men coming out of a nearby gap between buildings. They say, "Hey, McGee!" You turn, you see three shapes. Hard to discern. I should ask you, just because you have the move about this, would you consider yourself now intoxicated, or do you still think you're mostly just hungover?
I think he's mostly hungover.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah, so you can still kind of glean them pretty clearly. It takes you a moment, but you recognize these three men. They're from Neil's. They were some who were giving you the eye when you were asking about Graves's the attempt on Graves's life. And these three men coming out on the street says, "You stumbling around asking questions and poking that nose of yours in places it don't belong, old fuck."
He seems like he can half hear, he half hears him. He's like, "I am pretty old. What was that?" And he starts to like lean his head towards him to get a little closer.
He like they get closer to you, and the one at the head says, "I said you're a pathetic, sad old sack of shit, and we need to teach you a lesson in minding your goddamn business."
With school's in session, here's tip number one. And then he uses the skinny knife, and he has a move sucker punch, and he's stabbing one of the guys in the throat.
Incredible. It's going to be the night move. What are you afraid of happening here?
He's afraid he's going to kill him too fast.
It's worse than that.
He's afraid he's going to miss.
Well, it's worse than that. Okay, if you're afraid you're gonna miss, then I'm gonna say that it's worse than that because they're gonna beat the ever-loving shit out of you. You can roll plus vitality. What is the thing you mentioned about Sucker Punch?
Despite my intoxicated or hungover state, I am always quite capable of sudden violence. You receive the advantage if you sucker punch someone.
Ah, very good. All right. So, then yeah, just take it with advantage.
What is my vitality? One. Okay, that's a 3 and a 4, 7, 8.
Eight total. I'll tell you this now, and then we'll let you narrate the outcome of this for the final round. Whoever you kill might be all or only a few of them. I'll leave that up to you. It is the Wounded Knight. Their ghosts will be back, and you will be haunted by them, which will be Yeah, so that's my complication I'm thinking of, but stew on that for a moment. Back at the Carson homestead, Brandy scowls at you, Mother Ruth, and lowers her gun. She spits on the earth and she says, "I didn't have fucking nothing to do with no bodies and no field. I didn't even live here until till the property were already abandoned. I moved on to my rightful land that I alone got from my deceased relatives. So you can take your spouting and tell it to my family wherever they may be, heaven or hell." She spits and just looks at you and says, "Do what you wish, mother. But I got my eye on you. Don't do anything funny. This is my land still. And I'm rightfully able to protect my property." But she leaves you be. Graves. Actually, no, I'll get back to you in a moment. Harrington, as you've been walking along the road with this woman towards the Carson homestead, have you been silent or have you been conversing? Or trying to, at least?
I don't think Harrington has been trying to converse with this woman. He doesn't know who she is. And he doesn't think that he can get anything out of her. Nothing useful, at least. So we see him just sort of whistling along in the night. Probably, I think in most circumstances, that is a bad omen. It draws attention. It draws hunters towards you. But when you are like Harrington, whose badge weighs heavily upon him, you really don't have the luxury of being afraid.
As you're whistling, you don't realize it for a while. But at some point, you catch yourself. You were no longer whistling the song you were intending to whistle. You started whistling a song you had no memory of whatsoever. And that kind of gives you pause as the woman looks at you sadly and says, "Is this where you needed to go?" And you realize that you're now standing on the little walk up to the Carson homestead.
Yes, I think so. Would you like to come with still?
She just gives you a sad little nod, cutting over. You rolled an 8? Is that what you rolled, Graves? What'd you
Four,
roll?
seven, seven.
7. Okay. Well, still, very good.
I was like, I had to redo my math.
Yeah. There's a complication or a cost. This ghostly horror ascends the hill and stays in place. It's glowing eyes like baleful open pits into the very depths of hell, or perhaps open to the coal furnace of a steam engine. Curling, eyeing you, its head tilts, that jaw open, too wide and slack. The spectral noose trailing, alive like a serpent, cocks its head. And just shambles slightly to the side, and with its long, crooked hand, just gestures towards the field as if to say, after you. You're going to take the condition the hanged man knows.
Ooh, that's fun.
There's almost a bit of, one might say, deference to you that this horrific specter offers, but not necessarily out of respect, more out of a hateful fear, but nonetheless, it is a deference and allows either you, way. Go ahead.
I said either way, Graves just at it.
It just gives
as if this is normal.
It gives a throaty, choking wheeze of a growl to you as you pass, those eyes steaming and smoking, when you walk down towards the Carson homestead. Let's go to the last prompt on the unseen.
I don't know why I muted myself. It's mine. John Wesley Harden arrives, but not alone. He has three companions, killers, one and all. It is just as Armstrong's informants told him it would be. How does Armstrong manage to only bring in Harden alive? Well, Armstrong knows if you file down the side of your pistol, you get an 8-second drop on your combatants. And he's done just that. And John Wesley Harden hasn't, and neither have his companions. And Armstrong, as soon as he sees them and they stand, he, one, two, pop, pop, and they fall. And then he points his gun at Harden and says, you're under arrest.
Arkansas, you got a complication on this, as I established, but I still would like you to describe the outcome of it, if indeed you're keeping this result.
I'm gonna mark a mask of the past so I can bump it up to.
I'll let you know that we also have a free mask from this threat that's about to go away, but you don't have to use it.
Do you think you're gonna use it the next? Is anybody else in there danger of using it?
Aren't gonna be any rolls, honestly, on this the rest of this round. Yeah.
Then I will. What is it? Let's see.
Mask of Lonesomeness.
Yes, I will mark that.
Each hunter narrates a flashback to a time they truly felt alone. Very good. Think on that, everyone. Then in that case, yeah, you bump it up, then just narrate what happened to your Arkansas. This will be your, and then kind of wrap up your night phase.
He does kill one of the guys, and it, like, he just, it was just so fast when he cut the guy's throat with that super sharp skinning knife that he has, that the blood just sprayed on one of the other companions. And the guy on the other side saw how fast it was, and so they just bolt and run. And so the guy that falls down dead, Arkansas is like squinting his eyes to see if he can recognize his face, and he kneels down and says, "Let's see, who are you, fella, coming in me teaching me lessons?" And he starts kind of going through his pockets looking for identification to see who this is that was after, that's somehow involved with shooting of Graves.
Very good. The three of you, the rest of you, I'd like you to narrate the resolution of this quieting ritual of how you send off the lady in white. Whoever wants to start, narrate.
I think Andrew Harrington brings the lady in white into, I think, a ritual circle that Mother Ruth had drawn in earlier. The central focal point, probably where Graves is, bring the chicken. And I think he does it gently, because like this entire situation, it's sort of a reflection of himself, really. And I think I'll do my mask of loneliness right now. I think the lady in white has caused harm to the locals here, has killed multiple people already. And it's just out of rage, maybe? Who's not sure? We never figured it out why she was doing it all. Maybe she's just like him. Because, like, in the early days of when he was Marshal, he tried to change this town into a better version of itself. He used force to make criminals cower before him. He didn't feel the weight of the badge, the responsibility of it all. Instead, he used it like a hammer. Sometimes, and literally, in some cases. Marshall Harrington is a man to be feared, and that makes him alone because no one alive loved him for a while.
I think as Marshal Harrington brings the lady in white, Graves walks up almost beside them, blood splattered, but very unworried with this chicken, and looks over and nods at both of them silently, and walks to Mother Ruth's ritual site and gently lays down the chicken and its head and steps out of the circle very deliberately and just waits.
Then Mother Ruth begins to do the dance around the circle all the time in her head until eventually she gets so loud she starts saying it out loud. The Ecclesiastes 9:5-6, the dead know nothing and have no reward or memory. Kind of almost like this, it's not part of the ritual, but saying it as if to keep her steeled focused, striking true, that sort of push forward that they need.
With the completion of the quieting ritual, the lady in white slowly illuminated in the moonlight, but despite the red tint, her dress is bright white, like pure, glowing, natural moonlight. And she slowly disperses into a soft cloud of white and gray moths that fly out into the evening air. Graves looks up and sees the horror atop the hill slowly move out of sight. That'll bring the night phase to a close. We're gonna move to the dawn phase. We have a couple things to do, but first, we have rewards for completing the Lady in White. These are on the character keeper, but I also read them out loud. There is a beautifully composed love letter that is unsigned and unaddressed. It may be added to personal quarters, a bride's veil that can be added to the personal quarters, and three memento options. Who wants to take what?
I personally think Mother Ruth should get whatever she wants, because she was so involved in this ritual and the discovery of it. That's my personal
I
thought.
too support women's wrongs as well.
Take it.
I'll take a bride's veil.
Because I think it's funny. I really want the love letter.
Go ahead and take it. Add it to your personal quarters.
I will take a memento from Binor.
Right. I think that you actually get the ring that we found. And weirdly enough, it fits one of your fingers.
Oh no.
And I will take a memento from Daniel.
This is going to be good. I'm looking at the clues, and I'm going to give you a what was seen as a somebody told us about a an omen about a raven chewing at a red ribbon. I'm going to give you the raven.
Oh, okay.
We're just coming back around with all the birds and Beanar.
I get a bird.
You don't have to buy a plushie. Just paint the one you have black.
You know what, y'all? Just dunk it in some Rit dye. It's all good.
Very good. Let's go through Dawn questions real quick. Everyone, last session you did answer a question to resolve a threat, so you can mark those two boxes for free. Mother Ruth Calvo, did you experience an echo in the night?
I did, with the red ribbon tied around our Texas Ranger's neck and the rose that fell to the ground.
Very nice. Mark it. Did you let yourself be driven by guilt?
No, absolutely, actually, did
Did
not.
you turn the other cheek?
No, did not.
Well, then that's three for you. You may choose new questions if you want.
Well, actually, because I have to think about last session. Was not driven by guilt, no. Did turn the other cheek initially the first time with Carson.
Ah, that is true. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
So then, yeah.
instead of bringing fire and fury on her the first time, I just
That
smiled and
is
accepted it. Yeah.
correct. So then you get an advance. All right. Graves, did you experience an echo in the night? It's all good.
I don't think I did.
Did you respectfully help a dying mortal cross over to the spirit world? Yes, you
Yes.
did. I mean, well, technically a dead mortal. So
I was like, does that even count,
yeah.
really?
Unfortunately, no, it doesn't count because
I
she
don't
was
think it
already a
counts.
ghost.
Yeah.
No. Did you take time to puzzle over the human condition? I mean,
Does last session count?
only during the day phase onward. So I believe, did you do anything during the daytime that counted as puzzling over the human condition? I'm trying to remember. I don't think so, because
I don't think I did, actually, because I think I.
you went and like talked to the bank manager, you
Yeah.
Agatha Edwards. I don't think there was any puzzling over the human condition, so not that
No.
go around. That's okay.
No, I don't think
Take
so.
two points of experience. Choose new Dawn questions if you want or keep them. Andrew Harrington, you have all your boxes marked, so I assume you're confident in your answers. Did you
Yes.
experience an echo in the night?
Yes, I talked about Andrew Harrington's badge several times during the nights.
Did you deliver a cold monologue about the cruelty of justice?
Last time, I commented, I made a veiled threat or take about the necessary of justice
Yes, you
and
did.
whatnot.
And did you abuse your badge to gain the upper hand? Yes, you
Through a
did.
flashback.
Yes, you did. All right, that's five in advance, then carries you over. Arkansas, same deal. Did you get an echo in the night?
Yes, with me busting open the doors and then the horse busting open the doors.
Amazing. Did you talk about a time when you rode with Blackheart Vermilion? Yes, you
Last time I
did.
did.
And did you complain slash brag about being hungover and or drunk? Yes, you did. All right, that's again, you also take an advance with some carryover. During the dawn phase, I have to present this to the calamity. Not the day phase, the dawn phase. Arkansas, opening the door before dawn, you see Blackheart standing there. She looks tired, like she'd really like to sit down. Instead, she says hello, calls you by the term of endearment that she only called you when the two of you were alone. Then she turns and says, "Let's go for a walk." You are compelled to follow her down the streets of El Paso in the pre-dawn light. She asks you things like, "You taking care of yourself? El Paso treating you right? with genuine concern in her voice. After small talk, Blackheart turns and faces you squarely. I won't drag this out, but I need your help. I am only able to ask you this because of the Wounded Knight and because you were... are my friend. There's not much time, and I can do the heavy lifting alone if need be, but first I need you to help me with something first. The offspring of my horse, Titus, is here, somewhere in El Paso. You'll know it when you see it. Find it and bring it down to the river when you can, and then we'll get started. She turns away and slowly becomes a gray mist as she walks down the dimly lit street. Arkansas, how will you know the offspring of Blackheart Vermilion's horse when you see it?
Titus was this big black horse, but it had a congenital birth defect where it's blind, or it went blind later on in its life. And so its offspring should have, it should, I should have to find this black blinding horse that's going blind.
You will need to find the horse and take it to the Rio Grande to find out what Blackheart Vermilion needs and to properly begin the threat of the last ride of Blackheart Vermilion. The horse can be found in El Paso with a 10 plus on an information roll, and I will let you know where it is and who owns it. Do we have any outstanding Janus mask prompts? We have some of the mask alone symptoms from other people. Do you want to do those now or do you want to hold off?
I can do mine really quickly.
Go for it.
Mine is Mask from the Past. Let me read it. Narrate a flashback to your family's hardships as they tried to farm a barren soil. And so we see the old garden field area at the Carson homestead, and it's rocky and full of weeds and grass. And so we see that, but now in Virginia, and we see a really young, we can't tell which one is Arkansas, but we see a bunch of kids that look like Arkansas. And we see a man that kind of looks like Arkansas's dad and another man that looks like Arkansas's dad. And that's where we see his Uncle Matthew taking him and several of his siblings to go out west as his parents try to stay in Virginia.
The Mask of the Lonesome. That night, after putting to rest the Lady in White, Mother Ruth Calvo goes home. Helps prepares dinner with the family she's staying with. Being surrounded by their children, fat, greasy. A wife who hates her husband and a husband who hates living. Them talking about incessant things, spending all day around people, having to deal with Carson and her ilk. But finally, they all go to bed. All of them. And there's a sense of peace and quiet. And Mother Calvo sits at the table and drinks the last little bit of water in her cup. Turns, looks around. Stands up and makes her way to a loose floorboard underneath a cupboard. Moves the cupboard ever so gently, lifts it, and finds a little pint of whiskey, pours it into the tin cup, puts it back into the floorboard, moves the cupboard over, and sits down. No crossed legs, no knees together, just sprawled wide out, sits back, and just sips and enjoys it. That peace and quiet as you can hear crickets out. The wind across the plain. And smiles at the tranquility for once.
Very good. Well, let's take a 5-minute break. Then we'll go into the day phase. All right, we took some advances. Let's go in reverse order. Daniel, what did you grab for Arkansas?
I took Fraternize with the fellows, and what it does is let me scroll down. Fraternize with the fellows. When I spend time with laborers, cowpokes, and drifters, I can choose two of the following. One of them is the keeper gives me a clue. Another one is I trade one of my personal items, marked or unmarked, for a new one while I'm out and about, and I describe what it is, and I can give that to another hunter to get XP. I do not draw any unwanted attention, or I gain the trust of a side character who may help me if I help them.
Very fun. Marshall Harrington, what'd you do?
I picked up a stat increase to
Nice.
presence.
Nice. And Mother Ruth.
A increase to my presence, which will allow Mother Ruth to give more HJs to citizens of El Paso during
Oh my
confession.
God. I would dare argue that that's a composure roll or vitality, depending on how you handle it. It depends on technique or stamina, if we're being specific. But anyway, moving
It's
on.
all about what's being said during the
Ah, fair
handoff.
enough. Fair enough. Yes, and the Lord said unto me. Anyway.
Anybody can jerk off somebody, but
Okay,
it takes
anyway.
somebody.
Brings a whole new meaning to confessions. So let us move on desperately. Okay, so going to the day phase, I have a new threat to introduce, but first, just setting the scene a little bit. It has been, I think, almost like the better part of a week since this previous night phase. Things have more or less remained as they are in El Paso. The continued investigation into these phantom burglaries, and all the while the tension building up because this day we're going into now, it is the grand opening of the first Bank of El Paso. But that's not the most immediately pressing thing on your mind, everybody, because last night you all witnessed something. Our new threat is Ghost Begone. Last night, a spectacle which you each witnessed, a crowd gathered on the street, drawn by a boxy wagon with a canvas roof and drop-down canvas sides. In front of the wagon was a display table featuring several bottles filled with green glowing liquid. The bottles were labeled Ghost Begone. A boy stepped from the wagon and blew a brass bugle and announced, "Dr. Jebediah F. Clarkson's Ghost Begone, all-purpose spectral repellent guaranteed." Then, an older man in a smart black striped suit and gray top hat stepped up on a small box. He said, "Greetings to the town of El Paso, brothers, sisters. I am here to announce the arrival of reinforcements to help combat the curse of the Wounded Knight." He explained he was offering the town a tried and tested, honest-to-goodness ghost repellent. The crowd was eager to believe it. A terrible howl rose, and a ghost materialized from the ground in front of the wagon between Dr. Clarkson and the crowd. Graves, it was a real ghost. How do you know?
I know how it died. Instantly. Its name is in my book.
Great. With a flourish, Dr. Clarkson produced a bottle of Ghost Begone from his coat pocket and took a swig. The ghost glowed brightly and then faded, its spectral screams drowned out by the townsfolk's cheering. People crowded the small table and bought bottle of repellent by the armload. Dr. Clarkson assured those who were not able to purchase a bottle that more would be available soon. Mother Ruth, how do you know the ghost was putting on an act?
Me?
Yes, Mother Ruth. No,
I thought it said Graves.
I said that Graves had the one just now. Mother Ruth, it's now
Oh,
your
okay.
turn.
How do I know the ghost was putting on an act? God fucking damn it. Because while Mother Ruth was giving confessional, She saw from behind the stage the man in the hat speaking to this ghost, almost like speaking, but it wasn't like this ghost was just standing there. He was like speaking into his hat. And Mother Ruth was like, pull your pants up. I have to see something. And checks. And in fact, speaking to a ghost.
Marshall Harrington, how do you know the ghost is somehow bound to Dr. Clarkson and would kill the charlatan if given the chance?
I think this particular charlatan has a unique item on him. This cane with like this handle that seems to fit his palm exactly, like this crystallette top. I think so, I see like someone try to grab it, but it was so sharp it cut into the hand. But however, whenever I think when Mother Ruth was seeing him talk to this ghost was simmering. And eventually it tried to claw at his throat, but then he grips the cane even tighter, and we see sort of spectral chains drag the ghost back down.
This ghost-begone grift may end up being nothing more than a nuisance, but the situation could take a dark turn, especially if El Paso starts believing in the serum and lets its guard down. In either case, the Vigilance Committee will be vigilant. There are three questions available for ghost-begone. Each of them can resolve the threat depending on which one you go with. How can the ghost under Dr. Clarkson's control be freed? Complexity four. You can let the ghost have its revenge by freeing it. What secrets can be used to convince Dr. Clarkson to leave town for good? Complexity six, you can get him to pack up and leave. Or how can you convince Dr. Clarkson to stop his scheme and work with the committee? Complexity eight, and that'll bring him into the fold and under the control of the Vigilance Committee. There is no mask available for Ghost Be Gone. And with that, we begin the day phase. We see the exterior of the First Bank of El Paso, gathered crowd. The bank manager cuts the ribbon. There's a scattered applause. We see someone holds up a little, flash pan, gets the box camera ready, and takes a photograph of the front of the grand opening. People standing stock still. James Martin, the manager, answers questions. Even folks like the crowd, Agatha Edwards, the owner and editor of the El Paso Times, does raise her pen up into the air and says, "Now, Mr. Martin, how do you think you're going to protect yourself on account of all these rumors of the phantom burglaries?" And James Martin just holds up his hand and says, "It's like our security is the finest you'll find here in El Paso, and you may put this in your paper, Miss Edwards. I'd personally like to see this phantom burglar make it into our vault. In fact, if our vault still has all of your wealth in it by tomorrow morning, frankly, this burglar's a coward." And gives like a smile and a wink, taunting, actively does not believe in this, but is encouraging it. And there is scattered applause. The bank is open for business. It's a new day in El Paso. Now, Graves, because we did a bit of a time skip, I'm going to give you the clue that that Agatha owed you, because you would have probably spoken with her at some point in the intervening week. And if you do want to do more scenes with her, then that might be the grounds for more information. But the clue I owe you for the Daisy Man from Agatha Edwards, let's see. I'll ask you first, because I believe it was a bit of a quid pro quo situation of what sort of information and stories did you share with Agatha Edwards for her cooperation?
I don't think Graves has it in them to lie or to make anything up just because that doesn't occur to them. So I think this is after the we've resolved the lady in white. And I think Graves just tells her that we fixed it. And what's kind of a few lurid details, not like Graves doesn't have a lot of sense of storytelling, a lot of like, because that's just like a very human thing to do. But, just in regaling her about this, She'll get some fun deets, you know, probably not anything, you know, like about the hanged man or, you know, about anything Mother Ruth saw with Brandy Carson, because I wasn't there for that. But that's what she gets if she's satisfied with that.
I think so. I think that's enough. And the clue you'll get from her is at some point during that meeting, she coyly slipped something to you, another newspaper, but not local, not even
Okay.
continental. She slips you this penny paper from England, all the way from London, and kind of talks, you know, she explains how she has this kind of wider interest in international publications, so she gets some things sent to her. And in the light of all of these phantom burglaries, despite that the paper is mostly publishing the rumors about it possibly being you know, another ghost, she does slip this page to you, which is a, let me find it again. Yes, it is a penny paper story from England about an escape artist who terrorizes upstanding people in their homes.
Okay.
And she throws out there the comment of being like, "Now, I'm not the one to judge one way or other, Mr. Graves, but I find it mighty fascinating that this could possibly be not a haunting, or if it is, not the ones we're most accustomed to." Fascinating indeed, Mr. Graves. Fascinating indeed. And that is your clue from her. That is what you got in the intervening week. All right. Mother Calvo, what do you want to do today?
What's the marshal doing?
Not much. Like I was thinking about visiting Del Sol, but if you need me, Mother Ruth, I'll come running.
Oh no, Mother Ruth's just going to come to the prison, to the jail, and is going to walk in with the basket and the Bible in hand and say, "Marshal, how are you doing just today?"
I'm doing well, Mother Ruth. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I thought I'd do a bit of what is it? A bit of shadowing on you today. See how your day's going about. You seemed quite perturbed the other day when we spoke at my church, so I thought I could get on p my own eyes upon your problems.
I mean, my problems are many and multiple. I just Wounded Knights is just getting to me a little bit, that's all.
Well, also with the charlatan in our midst. So I figured I'd stand stark beside you, and maybe you could come with me and we could speak about this ghost begone with its creator.
Yes, that's particularly interesting. Don't like it.
Well, pretend I'm not here and carry on with what you're doing, and sits in a chair, probably behind your desk, and just watches you.
God, I feel like I should gain a condition from that.
What do you want?
Being watched by Mother Ruth.
Yeah, take watch by Mother Ruth. Love that. And indeed, in the cell, we see Del Sol just sitting slouched on the bed frame, whistling a drunken tune, eyes flicking back and forth between you and Mother Ruth. Just sitting there, but of course Mother Ruth doesn't see him. Nobody sees him. Nobody but you.
Yeah, I don't
What
wanna.
are Graves in Arkansas planning to do today?
I mean, I think Graves is interested in what Arkansas is up to because, you know, he seems to be a little distracted. He seems to be doing his own thing, and Graves is nosy inherently about this sort of thing. So whatever you're doing, Arkansas.
If you're walking with him, he just seems to be like ambling around. But he's actually what he's trying to do is two things on this day phase. One is to ask a fellow about a horse, and then two, fraternize with the fellas. I'm gonna try that move out. So he's going to like the seedier parts of El Paso, and
Fun.
he's looking for people that are like cowpokes and drifters. Like he's like on the other, the grand opening. He's as far away from that as he's like on the in the alleys and where there's a lot of like liveries and stables and things like that.
Fascinating.
He does have, I do have a question for Alex. Did he recognize the guy that he stabbed that was telling him to stop asking about
Yeah,
Greg?
you recognize him as from the as from Niels, as one of the
Do I
guys
know
who
his
was telling
name?
you. If you do, you don't remember it now. It is, but I mean, you can probably find that information pretty easily.
Good thing I peeled off his face so I can look at it whenever. Have you seen this? Do you know who this guy is? Yeah,
Jesus
he didn't
Christ.
peel off his face, but
I was like, is that
no. Just
Jesus.
his life. So that's his plan.
All right. Fascinating. Yeah, I think Graves is checking in on Arkansas, kind of curious about what he's doing, why he's asking about a horse. Like, he knows this man is part of the vigilance committee and we have jobs to do, but clearly he's doing something else, and that's interesting.
Speaking of seeing a man about a horse, why don't we go ahead and get that roll on the table, Arkansas? Information move, plus presence. It sounds like you're asking around. So yeah, you can do that plus presence, no disadvantage.
Trying to see if I can get an advantage so I can get a 10 without spending another mask. No, there's no way. Yeah, there's no way. Okay, just straight up. I can't stab my way out of this one. And I've got a 3 and a 5. That is an 8. I will spend the mask.
All right, what mask are you going to spend?
The one where I find my way out west.
All right, marking the ask of the past. It'll bump it up to a 10, in which case you do see a man about the horse, and I get to tell you where that horse is and who currently owns it. And I have an idea already. Let me take a look at my list here. Where did it go? There it is. Well, funny that you mention it, Arkansas, because the people you are asking around, oh, my internet has froze up. Hold on.
Lex.
Yes, hello. That was I'm back. That was strange. Did you still hear me? Okay. So I said you rolled a 10. So I have an idea for who owns your horse or the horse you're looking for and where you can find it. Because funny that you're asking around about it in Arkansas because people have recently seen that horse come into town. In fact, it's that Dr. Clarkson's horse. They've got it, hitched up in the wagon warehouse. The wagon's hitched up in a warehouse in North El Paso. That is he's got like a similarly like kind of like blind steed horse matching that description. That can be found there. That's where you know about that. But after you go around all morning asking about this horse on a lark, that's I think when Graves can find you, since it sounds like Graves wish to approach you. Let's get that scene.
Where do I find you?
I think he's leaving like he's like this he's been asking around the Hutchinson's livery, and when he sees you coming, he waves and he pulls out his gun and he starts like shooting it up in the air. Hey, Grace.
We don't have to do that. All right.
We're on the edge of town. Marshall ain't even close. Let me reload.
All right, you can reload as much as you want. Just don't aim it at anybody else.
A whole box
It's
of these. I can do this all day.
all right.
He starts. Now, listen, Graves, I got some bad
Yes.
news for you.
Oh.
See here now, Graves. Look, I've been doing. But that's because this is not my first wounded knight. And here's the cool thing about being on a vigilance committee is it sorts itself out in by winter. So what I'm saying is we can coast through this pretty easily.
Can't. So you just don't do anything.
No. I've been trying to find a fella that shot you, and
Oh.
yeah, it's all tied to this Niels, because the ghost, that's gonna sort itself out. Somebody trying to kill you, maybe try to kill me, maybe try to kill. They wouldn't try to kill Mother Ruth, but they might try to kill the marshal. And so we gotta. I'm on that. I'm working on that and looking for a blind horse, but you can come with me.
So what's the bad news?
They're trying to kill you.
Oh, that's all. Okay. I think that's perfectly fine. Why are you looking for this horse? Is this involved? Is this. What is this?
Personal business.
Interesting. All right. Where is it? I'll help you find it.
As fate would have it, our new savior in town, who hopefully is going to clean this town up, because Dr. Clarkson, I believe, has it. And I'm just thinking about how I'm going to ask to borrow it, the horse. Do you have any ideas on that one, Graves? And stealing it is not out of the question.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Then that was my. I mean, I don't see why you couldn't just take it at some point. But
That
I
sounds
don't
like the
think
Graves that I know and love.
it's good to hear. I don't think he needs a horse right now. I don't think he needs to leave. I think he's a problem.
That's a good point. He's going to be here for a while, and El Paso is going to come through this on the other side, thanks to these. Have you been drinking these Ghost Be Gone potions?
Oh, you. No, you drink them. I that you consume this.
Oh, yeah. I guess really the ghost, they say. It says right
Have
here on the
you
bottle.
consumed this?
Can I make an information roll to see if I have one and have I consumed it? Because the clue, if you have a clue, I might be able to be like, yeah, and it tastes like,
I normally would be like, well, use the move for that. But honestly, I think it's a hilarious idea of retrospective information move of like, oh, I was drunk last night. Did I do that? I think only the calamity I would allow the idea of information move to remember
Yes.
something that happened to you the night before.
God, so
Incredible.
good.
Yes. So in that case, I'm going to give it to you plus reason to disadvantage because you're hungover.
Four plus reason. I don't think I have any. Four.
Four. Let me think of a good but not immediately scene crashing misreaction.
I'm probably going to use a mask on that just so I can get
Well,
the clue.
I want to think of if there's anything fun here I can do that might tempt you otherwise. Let me think. Let's actually cut that scene in the middle just so we can jump over to the other thing while I think for a moment. So, Andrew, Mother Ruth is just seated watching you Del Sol in the cell, whistling a tune. I'm not sure. Do you recognize what Del Sol's whistling?
It's what I was li whistling the other nights, isn't
Yeah, it
it?
was. Yeah, it is. Big time. Better answer than I was thinking. What do you want to do, Andrew?
I just Mother Ruth, you just you seemed a little bit more concerned more than usual. Is everything all right?
Mother Ruth?
Says nothing.
Oh.
Turns a page in the Bible. I'm here to watch you, Marshall. Pretend I'm not here, just a fly on the wall.
I have to ask you, Chaotic the player, because I'm curious, because my brain goes to this place, but obviously I don't want to supersede if, your judgment. I wouldn't necessarily quite call this theory fear territory, but this is a deeply uncomfortable situation. I think this might trigger the day move just reactionarily.
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
Yeah. What are you afraid of happening here?
I think I'm afraid that Andrew's temper is going to get the better of him, and he's going to like get really angry with Mother Ruth for effectively ignoring him.
It's going to be
composure.
I was going to say the plus composure. Disadvantage from Watch by Mother Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Times, moves yeah. within moves within moves.
Mm-hmm. That's by the skin of my teeth, that's a 7.
By the skin of your teeth, indeed. How might you be vulnerable from this? You can choose to back down or go through with it. I honestly think that just keeping exactly what you said in mind is there's a lot of pent up aggression that you're going to need to let loose at some point. So I think that'll be represented as a condition called rising pressure or something like that. Just the idea being that at some point you're going to pop, right? Mm-hmm. But go ahead and I'll let you just kind of like narrate the rest of this and continue the scene from there.
All right. Well, I do like to talk to myself because I am such a, it helps me think out loud to consider some things, and I go to the jail cell and just consider it. Yeah, consider Dilsol. There was this song that I was whistling the other day, and I really couldn't figure out where it was. Where I heard it from, whether or not I heard it at all. Really wonder what that lady in white had over me. But, yeah.
I have a question for you, Marshall, before Del Sol speaks up. Whether or not you realize this, we the audience get to focus on it. There's something different about Del Sol. Because each time you have a scene with him, I need you to tell us how his appearance reflects what you have revealed from your masks of the past. So you've marked only one mask of the past, so based on that scene, what do we see about him? What about his appearance reflects that?
Oh, didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was also just Mask of the Future.
Yeah, no, it's Mask of the Future affect his demeanor, Mask of the Past affect his appearance.
Oh, I think we see it's less about like his physical form and more or less what he has in the cell. Mm-hmm. I think he has been just watching me this entire time, bouncing an apple up and down.
Yeah, just bouncing it up and down as he whistles, and he stops whistling as the apple lands against the flesh of his open palm. He looks up at you from his seated position on the bed with eyes that are slightly unfocused due to his inebriated state, or at least what you approximate to be inebriation. They flick over to Mother Ruth at the desk, and Del Sol just kind of takes a big bite out of the apple, munches it, smiles, tosses it over your shoulder. It slaps up against the wall. Again, none of this is visible or audible to Mother Ruth. Mother Ruth just sees you standing in front of a cell, idly mumbling to yourself and talking to yourself, and Del Sol stands up. Oh, go ahead, Wes.
Mother Ruth is going to stand up, almost as standing up in tandem with Del Sol, though she does not see Del Sol, but she's standing up, closes the Bible and sets it on the desk. And is watching.
Del Sol stands, gives a big lazy stretch, yawns, and scratching his balls slightly, stumbles over to the bars and rests his hands up against them, looks at you and says, "You'll have to forgive me, Marshal. I sometimes find myself whistling when I am in a mood, especially upon waking. The tune you inquire about, you it sounds familiar?"
"Yes. Oh. Don't know the name of it. Unless I do."
He starts to whistle again. "I need you to roll plus sensitivity. I mean, I'll ask you if you feel like the rising pressure or being watched would actively affect this role."
I think being watched would could affect this role.
Gotcha. So then you can do that at disadvantage, unless you want to mark an item.
What can I?
I love role-playing Del Sol. It's a preemptive star. I just fucking love whenever a marshal takes this move.
This may be a bit of a stretch.
I'm listening. I'm open.
My glass jar with a collection of teeth.
A stretch, but explain.
I think because for as much as Marshall Harrington doesn't believe in the supernatural, he does believe in the supernatural of Del Sol because he could see him. He's right here, right in front of him. But Mother Ruth, she doesn't know him, and he can't talk about him. There is a ritual at play here. Del Sol is very powerful, and he can't. Even letting his emotions slip is just unbearable to him. So other rituals must apply. Harrington is compelled to take teeth of everyone that he has hurt. Everyone that he's punched and knocked out, he collects them. I think if he had his way, he would take the teeth of everyone that he has ever known. Even Mother Ruth's standing, watching over his shoulder, he would pluck them out of her mouth if he could.
I'm going to just say that you have disadvantage not from being watched, but by the temper, because I feel like that's I think that applies more to that than being watched. I love the idea of it being like, we just see violent flashes of dental fantasy. You know, it's like the idea of like you have this kind of like pressure cooker frustration inside of you, and you just think about all those teeth you've taken, all those teeth you can take, and you just use it to try and like ground yourself. Terrifying. I like that. I'll give it to you though. So you can roll flat plus sensitivity.
That is an 8.
On an 8, you gain one clue.
Only one.
Let's see. Do you have a particular care in the world for what threat this is for, or is it dealer's choice?
I think this would be for Ghost Be Gone.
Okay.
Because we have like plenty of clues for the Daisy Man currently.
Very true. Very true. Good. All right. Mother Ruth, I just kind of want to hear, how are you feeling watching this?
Marshall Harrington, as Mother Ruth says, very like confidently, but you can feel like the hesitance in her voice. Do you find yourself frequently speaking to yourself or to the empty bars, jail cells within the prison?
Yes, I do, Mother Ruth. It helps me think by processing my thoughts aloud.
Is there anything you need to be getting off of your chest before we make our visit for this ghost to be gone?
Maybe Mother Ruth. For I have sinned. Or I feel rage against those who wish me the best in life, and for against those who are my allies and my friends. another for no other reason that they do not behave the way I want them to.
Shall we be doing this the proper way or the effective way?
Now, Mother Ruth, you should ask for what you want, and you should not lie.
Marshal Harrington, please disrobe and let me know your troubles.
I think we can fade to there.
I will turn around.
He likes to watch.
But before we do cut away that scene, we cut back to what Del Sol whispered to you before Mother Ruth walked over and distracted you. Del Sol pressed his face right up against the bars. You could smell something on his breath. It reminds you vaguely of alcohol, but it's hard to pin it down exactly. He gives you one clue. And he says, because, yeah, because he's a friendly drunk, I had a great idea for a clue, but that would work best if you had the moss-covered gate marked. So I'll save that in my
Hold
pocket.
on. What if I just bark the moss cover gate right now?
That's entirely up to you. That has effects. Do you wish to do that now?
Yes. So, like to get two clues out of this one.
Would you please read your prompt on the moss-covered gate?
Yeah, because this is funny. Narrate a scene in which his trusted side character shows you a wanted poster with a picture that looks a lot like you. Tell the keeper to put the bounty hunter in play.
I want you to narrate that scene now before Del Sol answers.
I think as like Mother Ruth like is trying to distract him and Del Sol is trying to tell me like this information, I think Deputy Wainwright, pinnacle of timing, that just bursts into the jail and just like is like trying to like show me like this picture as like I just like have like the first unbutton of my shirt, and he's just like showing me this is the Marshall, what is going on with this? And just like is panicking as I see my own face in this picture. Which does it says says Harrington, but I but like the sort of n the first name has been smudged out.
Here's the question. Do I immediately introduce the bounty hunter now, or do I save it for the next day phase? Because normally these sheets say, like, introduce at the start of the next day phase. The bounty hunter doesn't. The bounty hunter just is like,
You introduce the bounty hunter
right
now.
now? Okay,
Yes.
gotcha. This is not news to you, or Andrew, because last night, something else happened. You, in addition to seeing the Ghost Beyond thing, you also encountered this. So I'm going to go ahead and read the introduction to the bounty hunter now. This is crazy. Session three, and we have two playbook threats going into motion. Are we speed running? Okay.
We're speed running.
We're not gonna have enough threats. All right, Marshall. Someone's been following you, but you've not been able to see who they are or what they look like. All you have are glimpses, dark clothing in your peripheral vision, a brooding figure in a window's reflection. Last night, Eli Shields, the gravedigger, told you a man came to him asking about someone fitting your exact description, but with the name Jamie Little. The mysterious man pressed a wanted poster into Eli's hands. It shows an alleged criminal who looks like you when you were younger, accused of a crime you certainly could have committed back then, but it's not you. The man told Eli to tell you he's staying at the Riverview Hotel should you wish to turn yourself in and save this town a mountain of grief. What crime is Jamie Little accused of? Also, Eli's description of the bounty hunter confirms the bounty hunter is a revenant an undead stalker seeking revenge or justice. What did Eli describe?
This Jamie Little, it's probably a pseudonym. It's not the real name. Harrington thinks that there could be a person that looks just like him, but this person was accused of killing, of being a serial killer, killing several people, being a very dangerous, very charismatic person who can get to people to do what they want at a moment's notice. Someone that is very dangerous, and someone that Harrington does not want to meet again.
And what did Eli describe about this revenant?
I think
the description from him, yeah.
I think the reason why this is going to be our business rather than just Harrington's is that the reverent, the reason why we know it is the flesh of the face has been ever so slightly decayed off that you can see this, the bone underneath.
You aren't the person the Revenant is after, and the most straightforward course of action would be to lure the creature to you and destroy it. Unfortunately, this incident could cause the people of El Paso to question your past and to discover the crimes you did commit. In order to maintain your reputation as a leader in this town, you'll have to prove your innocence to the bounty hunter and to your neighbors. The only question on the bounty hunter, complexity 4, is how can we prove the marshal's innocence? But back to the scene with Del Sol for a moment. Before all of these interruptions happened, before Wainwright came in, before Mother Ruth even began to make advances on you, Del Sol pressed his face up against the bars and whispered to you about some interesting things. Because when you have the Cosmic Passage mark, Del Sol makes frequent references to that which is hidden, especially things that take place behind closed doors or in the distant past. And he says, "Do you know why I'm in here, Marshall?"
"No."
"What do I tell you every time?"
"That you've been drinking too much."
"I need to sleep it off." "It's you who says I've been drinking too much. All I ever says is I need to sleep it off. But words is words." "Am I a prisoner, Marshal Harrington?"
"No, I don't."
"Then why am I bound in shackles?" He like holds up his wrists, which are bare. And he says, "Can you not see my chains, Marshal Harrington? They adorn my wrists. Perhaps it is in this fair light of our daylight sun that you cannot see them. But sure enough, they are there. Spectral. Only visible at night. As the moon shines through my bars, I can certainly see them upon my wrists. And ho, what is this?" Reaches into his vest and pulls out nothing in particular. And he says, "A key to my shackles. I can unlock them whenever I wish. But spectral manacles require a spectral key. So I find myself unable to leave until I can hold the key in my hand and place it within the lock. Hidden chains, hidden keys, Marshal." That is your two clues. Spectral key only visible at night and spectral manacles only visible at night. Now note that if you ever mark the Cosmic Passage while this thread is active, you can add those to your personal quarters. So those are the clues Del Sol imparts to you. And then everything happens. It does sound like here the vulnerable move did happen. So let's go ahead and resolve that on your end, because we ended up using Mother Ruth's vice ultimately to get the two of them, bumping uglies. So you may both clear an appropriate condition. Which, I mean, you can clear marked by Brandy Carson, Mother Ruth, because even though that threat was resolved, I feel like that could have still impacted you here and there. But I feel like this is enough of a distraction that it takes your mind off that old drunk.
Yeah, I think I will clear rising pressure.
Very good. Going back to the other scene, I owe you a response for your miss. And I've decided to tempt you, Daniel Qualls, because with all of this, wild shit that's happening this session, I'm gonna, your misreaction, I don't do these very often, but this is what I'm offering now, is going to be a mastermind clue.
I will take it, but also I was trying to activate a vulnerable move.
Yes.
It kind of went sideways. Yeah, I will take the mastermind clue.
Cool. Yeah, so then you don't get anything else from that information move to recollect your drunken state, but you will get a reactionary mastermind move. But before I give that to you, let's finish out. Keep the vulnerable move scene going, because it sounds like you were using your vice, so we can kind of let's keep that scene playing out for a little bit while I ruminate on a mastermind clue for you.
So I'm going to get a horse to trade with the horse, because if the marshal is going to put me in jail for just, target practice, the marshal will definitely put me in jail, or maybe even string me up for stealing a horse, Graves.
You really think he would? You really think?
Yeah!
I don't think it's your time yet, Arkansas. I don't think you're going to get strung up. I don't think he's going to put you in jail.
You do not know Marshall Harrington like I know Marshall Harrington.
And, I don't.
He leans up against the wall. And right now, if I had to be in jail and not have access to this sweet, sweet elixir from the gods, and he's drinking out of this canteen, could be water, my head would explode in that jail cell.
That would be unfortunate. Are you sure that you you need a horse to trade for this?
I know.
You know, guy. All right, I'll help you out and maybe keep an eye out for those folks from Nails.
We should burn it down, you and me.
Oh, that's tempting.
Burn that place down, except for it'll cause a lot of collateral damage on Santa Fe Street, I think, but. I'm okay with that.
You know what? I think we could keep that in mind. But let's get your horse first.
Okay, we gotta go down to the feedlots over here, down this, not this alley, that alley. He's just kind of wandering his way through the edges of and we can smell livestock and horses. And we see like a rough bunch of guys like Brandon horses. They're doing like cowboy things. And he turns to Graves and says, "You look a little out of place here, Graves. You may be like, hurting my image."
Oh, I see. Yes. It takes them a smidge, like a second, to really grasp that they're still getting these social mores down. But
you're very clean. Yes,
I am.
And me and these fellas back here are very dirty. And they'll say something about you having a pretty mouth. They go through the same jokes every single time.
That sounds like a lot of time wasted. So I'll leave you to this. We can meet up later. I have some things to attend to anyway.
Try to find kerosene. It's very flammable.
Noted.
Now, we do feel like we did the vulnerable move, because especially we did some target practice at the sky. But I'm going to need justification for how that might clear the hanged man nose, unless you think it remains.
I don't think it clears it.
Gotcha.
I
Well,
don't think
then
that
good.
actually made personally. Unless you guys
Unless he
have a better question.
shows up and we like
Yeah.
pistol whip him.
Don't think he does. But you tell me then, Daniel, are you gonna find a clue from that vulnerable scene, or are you gonna?
I was gonna go with a question, but
Okay, go.
if we have so much stuff like stacked up on
Yes.
us, I think we got to get a clue.
Up to you.
And since I brought up the ghost be gone, I'll go with that one.
Okay. You may think on that. You'll go off and do your own thing. But before you do, your memories do recollect something from your drunken stupor over previous nights where you didn't think much of it at the time, but now it does stick out to you as odd. You remember distinctly, this is an oasis of clarity amidst the haze of your intoxicated state. But you were stumbling around town late at night. It was around midnight, and unmistakably, you heard the sound of a train whistle. That is your mastermind clue. There ain't any trains near El Paso yet, so that is something you are certain of. You heard a train whistle. Could not be mistaken for anything else. I think we will end the session there.
One. Mother Ruth has not picked the
Ah, true, true,
vulnerable.
true. Yes, you're right.
Why don't we find a clue?
What threat,
Let
though?
me see. Let me see. The Daisy Man. I think we find a Jesus. I think we find a wanted poster outside with a patch of daisies growing up through it, penetrating through it.
Very good.
You know, when we leave post confession.
Yeah. And I think we'll end the session on these two notes, pick up next time with the rest of this day phase before moving into another night. Before we move to stars and wishes, does the group want to answer any questions? We have five clues on the Daisy Man if you want to take a crack at the threshold. Or you can save it for next time. Up to you.
I mean, like, it depends on whether or not we want it to be a ghost or a living person.
I want it to be a guy. I want it to be a
Same.
guy manipulating ghostly energy.
It
Yeah.
looks like a guy. Like, all of the clues really point to a dude. So.
Yeah, like I definitely think like because of Harrington's own past, like the sort of the escape artist who terrorizes people in homes, like he has like heard of that, and he would say like they never caught the guy, so but it was rumored like he did like escape off to America, so.
Yeah, make it a little bit like the Prestige. It's like a former probably stage magician escape artist from England that can walk through mirrors. What he's doing is just breaking in before and just putting like false mirror, like these kind of fake mirrors into these
Well,
places
you do
or using
know for a
magic.
fact that it is some that it is supernaturally
It's
passing through
super.
things. You do know for a fact, even so, even if it's
Oh,
not a ghost, you
yeah.
do know that it's not trickery, smoke, or mirrors. You know, he's literally walking through walls. But I mean, like the mirrors thing could still be rooted in that. There could be an you might not be entirely off the mark
Mirror.
with that one. There could be an angle with that still.
Yeah, like I think like quite literally it's sort of like a form of like projection. Like, because like mirrors are often associated with scrying, like by putting a mirror in one place and any mirror another, he's able to go into like the other place, like I think he is.
And if we go down that route, we can do that in the future. We get the magic power.
Oh, and it does kind of sound just a smidge like the mirrors that Ellis used in our other campaign.
And based on what Arkansas of like saying one out of 11 instances will be a ghost, this is like the 10 other instances. It's just statistically.
I was going to say the same thing, chaotic.
Yeah, it's definitely. And maybe he used mirrors in his magic act prior the escape artist did to like, now he really knows how to walk through them.
I mean, unless the key detail here is that he's not actually walking through mirrors, it's that, I mean, again, I defer entirely to your theory, but like with the escape artist angle, I mean, like there, what Wes was kind of originally going for by saying it was trickery, but it's also not. I mean, I could see I could see on the one hand your theory of it being like, oh yes, like use like these mirrors play into the actual transitional thing, or if it's like, no, they're a mislead. Like it's like you can use smoke and mirrors to mislead people from like looking at one space while you're actually doing another thing. Like that is actually stagecraft, but like he still like goes through walls, but like the mirror, I don't know. So I could see it being like the
It's
mirrors play a
fascinating.
part in the supernatural aspect, or they could just be indicative of like there is trickery at play, but it's to distract you while he's doing the actual supernatural stuff. That's also really good.
I think that comes up with the second question, because the current question is
Oh
like,
yeah.
is it a person or not?
Oh, that's right. Yep. True. 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 True.
Yeah,
So then
that's.
we okay, we have two confirms. Are we holding on to the walkthrough mirrors clue, or are we gonna use that now?
Let's hold on to it for the next question.
Okay, so if we're
Okay.
just using those two, that'll be a flat roll, but that is enough of those two enough clues are completely solid foundations of like it's an escape artist from England. I mean, that is 100% true and
We could
correct.
throw in the blown glass daisies that he leaves behind as like a calling card. I mean,
Yeah,
true.
because that's not a ghost thing.
No.
That's
I
a
like
good. That
that. That
we can
gives
do
us a
that.
plus
Yeah.
one.
All right, that gives you. Who wants to make the roll?
I can make the roll.
Go for it. Plus one.
Oof. Not good enough. That's a six.
It is actually a ghost.
Unless.
Unless you all mark a mask. But again, I will. I'll. So.
I got plenty.
Do you want to think about that, or are you like lock it in like it's a man? You guys all want to spend masks?
Wes.
I'll do it. I'll
Yeah.
do it. I will remind everybody that there is a threat specific mask where you can hold on to that as well. There's the mask of the cat, but we will resolve who marked what next time. All mark masks to bump that up. So the theory is correct, but there will be in a complication in the theory. This is great because it gives me time to think about some fun complications on top of him being a living person, something else is present. And that'll unlock the question of how are they using the power of the Wounded Knight to become incorporeal at a complexity six. Very good. All right, then. Let's go to Stars and Wishes, everybody.
So many. There's so many this
So
time.
many.
There's so many. I'm gonna try to go through mine quickly. Chaotic. Del Sol's apple was that was really cool. I like the scene with Chaotic on a stroll with the lady in white. And I took personally petty crimes will be punished. Took that personally. For B, I just like me when you took off your gloves. I also like the 8 second drop off your quick draw and how you're playing Graves is like just kind of matter of fact and not telling any stories, not lying. So stars there. Wes, this fire and brimstone was totally different from the fire and brimstone with the children. And it got the same reaction from Alex. Are you doing fire and brimstone? But he said Alex's voice was a little different this time. And just stalking Harrington is another echo to Dallas stalking Mike. And Alex, the hangman as a ghostly horror was really cool. and bringing in the depths of hell, or a furnace with some steam engine was really cool. And I like this side. I like the shady side quest that you set up about Graves' murder, which may or may not tie into anything, but I'm on it.
I want to give a star to everybody because I've been very distracted and frazzled with like work stuff and like dog and then stuff like that. But y'all have been killing it this episode. I loved the Arkansas Graves talk. It was very different from the Mother Roof Graves talk, which was fantastic. The Harrington is going through it, and I love that it's chaotic playing Harrington because you're just like, you're bringing that energy that you have, that chaotic energy, that frazzle energy of like, I'm getting it from all sides. And it feels very much like Deadwood, like the Marshall Timothy Oliphant's character of like, I can't walk out of my fucking door without having somebody come up to me and get on to me about something, and then I have like fucking Swearengen over here whispering in my ear. Like you bringing that energy, which is so fucking good. Alex, yes, the Hanged Man, so fucking creepy. Really good stuff. Thank you for being the vessel for me to scream fire and brimstone preachings into multiple times. I can't wait until we see what happens with another hunter when that happens. If it does happen, who knows? But no, this is another great session. I love it. And all like the echoes that we're seeing, not only between White Mountain Rescue, but like between like all over the place. So good. Y'all are very talented, very, very talented.
Yeah, I gotta give a star to Wes of just like having Mother Ruth not only like just like being interrupting Harrington like with Dilsoul, but also just going to the other side of the desk and sitting right next to him. Like, oh my God, like that is just gonna crackle Harrington so much. Like he's just like he doesn't he wants to impress people. He wants to be acknowledged and Mother Ruth not giving him that is just frustrates the hell out of him. Like, I think it really has defined our relationship in a new, unique way. And then, just like the whole ritual sequence of just like bringing like the ghosts to this location, bring the chicken, just Alex giving like the paint the scene for like the goat. For the Hanged Man, I love that. I love getting to make things even worse. I just loved all the body horror and just like the insidiousness between like what Harrington is, kind of like just implying a lot of stuff, and then just like saying, "Oh man, I really wanted like you to have like a moss-covered gate," and I'm just like, you know what? I love this idea. Let's go ham. Let's get four threats on the board.
Oh my God, I want to gush so much about everyone. Fabulous. First, Wes, I know you say you've been distracted. You did such a fabulous job on that ritual. See, getting the Dutch, the Dutch song and actually singing it partially, that was wild. That was so good. That you are absolutely killing it. And like having the exact Bible verses, like you are, I love your fire and brimstone every time. It delights me. Just absolutely tickles me to death. It's so good. And I loved your scene with the Marshal. Just like, you are killing it too. You are doing a really, really good job. And I adore it. The Marshal, I have to agree, this just sort of like, you are going through it. And it is hilarious. It's absolutely fabulous. I love that you also have a personal threat on the board now because a revenant bounty hunter. Oh, delicious. Delicious. And I love your interactions with Del Sol. The fact that you talked to him anyway, even though Mother Ruth was right there, standing right there, you decided to talk to this invisible man anyway. That was a really cool choice, and I loved it. And I loved your scene with the lady in white. Alex, I love your Del Sol. I love your Del Sol voice. I know you said you love playing him. I love hearing him. I want him on screen all the time. He's Delightful. I love all your character voices. I'll say it every session. I'll say it every session. Your character voices are so good. I love your side characters. I can differentiate them instantly when you open your mouth. It is so cool. And you do a really good job of juggling what is probably going to be four threats, it sounds like. Delightful. Oh my gosh. Daniel, Arkansas just delights me. I am so excited to see what you do with the Blackheart Vermilion. This is such a cool dynamic between the Calamity and Blackheart Vermilion. This is going to be so rad. I'm so excited to get more backstory and interactions between you two. And I also love Arkansas's just sort of like his whole, like you play the drunk slash hungover thing really well. And he just seems so affable. And then you stab a guy in the throat, like for real, for sure, and kill a man on the street. And that dichotomy is really fun to see played with. I really love that. It makes him really interesting as a person. And yeah, just stars all around everybody. It's fabulous. Just mwah, delicious. And the Hanged Man ghost was super creepy, and I love it. I love him.
Yeah, I just love like Daniel, like how you make callbacks of like to other things, especially like with the Wounded Knight, where like petty crimes get punished but murders don't. Like this, like Arkansas gets punished for shooting guns up in the sky, but he doesn't get punished for literally killing a man on the street. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I mean, so many stars I gotta echo already that I was a huge fan of a lot of these dynamics we have to explore, especially during this night phase. It was one, just a really good, well-paced night phase as well, with a lot of like fun responses and roles. But yeah, Star West, that ritual, but the fire and brimstone specifically, I mean, like it's fun. On the one hand, because it's a cool move, but also because you are insanely good at improvising. I mean, again, as you have said, you are putting the fact that you almost went to seminary to use. You know, it's like you're clearly quite good at pulling this out of the fly. So you playing this religious character is actually kind of like naturally like settling into things you're already like very familiar and well versed in. So it those moments hit. And also, yeah, the Dutch angle, I'm continuously impressed by the fact that like you are not just leaning into it, but fully just submerged and treading water in this character like choice you've chosen. It's very good. Truly some fantastic role play, especially in the scene we got to see with Harrington in the sheriff's office. I always award adversarial character relationships that feel interesting and fun, right? You know, it's like, and the fact that that scene then ended with then the two of them hooked up, you know, it's like it's that is so the between of just like we kind of hate each other and then we kiss, you know, it's so melodramatic, it's so dark, it's so brooding, and it is very Deadwood, you know, reminds me of like end of episode one of Deadwood, where it's just like you know, swear, you know, the fucking why am I forgetting that one prostitute's name? One of the main characters. I'm just blanking on it.
Trixie.
Trixie, thank you. Yes, Trixie. It's like when Trixie then goes back to Al at the end of the session, and it's just like, yeah, it's like there is like a clear hate, but also this obsession. That was great. Daniel, I don't know why I was so tickled, but just I gotta go see a man about a horse. You know, I thought that was fun. I've been, you know, reading through the Last Ride threat. I'm very excited, especially because I hope you get the move, the special move at the end of it. So that's kind of a wish, but I mean, just oh my God, I'm kind of overwhelmed with the stars because there's a lot to just be like, this was a really fun session. This was a lot of fun. I mean, like it's only session three, but we're speed running it, but it doesn't feel like a cheap speed running. It feels like, and we've upped the stakes immediately, but it's not something that feels like it's gonna be detrimental to the pacing of the campaign. It feels like we had this really strong start that it's going to create this momentum that's still going to keep going. Because even I said this last time, there is this sense of like a slower pace in Ghosts of El Paso specifically, but not one that feels out of sorts with the fun of the game. It feels very like we get long shots of nothing in particular. There's like a kind of ambient, not bleakness, but brooding to this frontier lifestyle. And man, I wish we had a bespoke soundtrack because I can just kind of hear the tune so clearly in my head in each of these scenes with these characters. And yeah, to comment on what you were saying, Daniel, about the little side quest with Graves, truly, I constantly am questioning, like, can I do something more with this? But honestly, I've just been happy with the fact that you just step up, do something random, say you're looking into it, and there's no mechanical benefit other than it might create complications for you, which I think is very fitting for the calamity of all people, of just being like, this is the C plot that keeps giving us returns of danger. Like, it doesn't seem like it's really making any progress whatsoever, but it keeps giving us, it's the Laura Palmer investigation. You know, it's like there is no progress, that we just keep getting drama. So getting to kill those guys was a fun thing to bring back, and I enjoy the fact that you're leading, that you're the only character, I should say, that the Calamity is like, I have taken upon myself to be the only one. Everyone else seems to have just moved on past it, just being like, oh yeah, Graves is shot anyway, but Calamity's like, there's something afoot. That was great. And yeah, I mean, everyone, stellar job in general, especially with the paint the scene prompts for the hangman. I was happy to defer that. I was inspired by White Mountain Rescue when we did the Wood Devils, because I mean, just the idea of it being like paint the scene about why it's fucking scary, you know. And since there's only like a minimal text about describing the hangman, I figured, hey, that's a great place to do it. And you guys, I'm so glad one of you like, did. I'm so glad that you guys included the red eyes, because immediately my brain thought of like, that would be cool if it was there, and it was there. That was terrifying. Oh my God, just yeah, so much I could say, but I'm just rambling at this point. Wishes. Yeah, we have four threats on the table. I mean, this is a wish that is not necessarily, this is not me complaining by any means, never a complaint. I hope that we have a day phase, that, because I believe all of our day phases so far have mostly featured vulnerable moves, like back to back, like two of you pair off and go do a vulnerable move, which is totally fine in keeping with the game's rules text. I would just love to see a few day phases where it's like no vulnerable moves, we're all splitting off and doing our own things, or you know, just and getting to live more in that. I feel like my favorite vulnerable move scenes come into play when it's like been a while, you know, like, and this is just like a me opinion of like, of it's like, you know, when you've started stacking up conditions and it feels like a good scene. But for me, I love, as a player at least, when I get to play CFB games, one of my favorite things to do is like, I do have two out of three conditions. If I have room for a third, I'm gonna go do something else and maybe get back to this later, you know. So I want to see some more of variety in day phase activities, but that is by no means a complaint, because I am loving these scenes.
Don't worry, that's just me collecting my dance card. I'm
Yeah, I
playing
know.
bingo
Yeah,
right now.
you are.
That's
Well,
it.
I need Mother Ruth to go do more dangerous things so I can strike her down dead and trigger your other moves. Like you've been in somewhat of a safe territory. And so I need to start being a little bit harsher towards you. But yeah, wish-wise, any other wishes I have? Nothing immediately comes to mind, at least, but God, I just love this game. I'm three sessions in and I'm loving it. Though now I'm genuinely worried. Or like, am I gonna run out of threats before we get all the Mastermind clues? Because holy shit. But anyway, yeah, that's me. Any other stars or wishes for anybody?
I was intending to like go do my own thing, but then Mother Ruth came and just like was like, "Hey, what if you didn't?" So like I am getting menaced by all ends. I have Arkansas shooting guns off in town. I can't believe it. He's making plans to burn the jail down. Please don't. I'm so scared.
No, that was to burn down the needles, not
Niels, don't worry, the jail is
yeah,
fine.
that's for the bar, the sleazy bar.
Any other stars or wishes from anyone? No? All righty. Then before we go, in the deserts outside of El Paso, under the bright, scorching sun, we hear the rusty of metal slightly creaking and groaning in the wind. An old weathered wooden post out from the sands juts up, scrub brush scratching at its base, wind blowing some gritty pieces of earth into its crevices. Hanging from that wooden post is a rusted old iron gibbet. Seated inside, a melancholy skeleton, legs dangling out through the grates, we hear heavy boots step, step, step. Coming into frame just slightly, the outline of someone, a man, armed to the teeth amidst his dusty work clothes. A cowboy hat, the spurs clinking with each step. We see manacles, a sawed-off shotgun in a hip holster, a revolver on the other hip, and a rifle slung across his back. Looks up at the skeleton, gives a low, mirthless chuckle, tips the hat, and walks past the rusty gibbet. And begins to whistle a song that we are now beginning to become slightly familiar with. Snags off one of the leg bones of the skeleton, squats down, reaches into a pack slung across his back, and pulls out from it a mean-looking bear trap. Clink, 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 clink. Opens it, sets it on the ground. Squatting by it, takes the skeleton's tibia that he pulled free, and still whistling, thrusts it against the release plate. What do I think? The bear trap snaps the bone clean in half. The sound echoing throughout the empty desert in the daylight sun. And the bounty hunter just holds the snapped and broken tibia bone aloft in the light, then discards it over his shoulder and turns back and walks towards town, taking the bear trap back with him.